Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 12th of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller coming soon with Hoosier Ag Today news, including another Ag Revision Award winner we'll spotlight and John Deere layoffs and jobs headed to Mexico. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says Indiana weather includes climbing temperatures and continued mostly dry. And on Friday, corn and bean markets lower as we get set for today's August crop report. We have analysis with Brian Basting on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Vaughn AgriVision Award winner and one congressman upset with Deere moving their jobs to Mexico. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. John Baugh has been a steady presence at the Indiana State House for the past 35 years with both Indiana Farm Bureau and now with Purdue University as their Director of Agricultural Services and Regulations. He received the AgriVision Award this past week from Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch. It's the state's highest ag honor.
Working together works, and I believe that.
And that's been Baugh's motto as he's worked on legislation over the years that directly impacts agriculture and rural communities.
Never did any of this stuff by myself, but always trying to be a part of things like the Indiana Grain Indemnity Fund. When I worked for Farm Bureau, we were very involved in getting that created and through the legislature. And one of our projects was what is now the old ADDL, but the new ADDL. A new ADDL. The food science building was important. We worked on what was called crossroads funding, ag research and extension funding.
Baugh was instrumental in forming the Indiana Corn Checkoff Law and years later played a key role in assisting Purdue's efforts to secure legislative support for the new veterinary hospital. Baugh says Indiana is special and it goes back to his motto, working together works.
I said it today, but many others said today, how Indiana is different. The university, the departments of ag, the government, all of our ag associations, everybody works together. And we have our disagreements, no doubt about that at times, but in the end, everybody gets together and makes things happen, and that's what's really important.
Baugh received the award alongside his good friend Ed Ebert from the Indiana Corn Marketing Council and the Indiana Soybean Alliance.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
John Deere announced earlier this summer their plans to lay off more than 600 employees at production plants in Illinois and Iowa. They also said they'd be moving some jobs from the U.S. to Mexico. CJ Miller shares how one congressman is quite upset with those decisions.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm really frustrated today. I don't believe that Deere & Company is being forthcoming about their plans for the future.
And that's Illinois Congressman Eric Sorensen, who represents the district where John Deere's corporate headquarters are located. In spite of the layoffs, Sorensen points to the fact that John Deere generated more than $10 $1 billion in profits in 2023, while the company's CEO, John May, received more than $26 million in total compensation last year alone.
I mean, there are challenges in the ag economy, but John Deere has been effective in making a profit for its shareholders. So looking forward, we have to understand that it is a profitable company. That's the thing that's concerning for me, because I don't believe that we're at the end of the Deere & Company's layoff period.
Sorensen says he's also concerned that if John Deere were to move more of its manufacturing to Mexico and overseas, that could have a crippling effect on the U.S. ag economy.
We need to know, where is the future of Deere & Company? And we need to know that the future of agriculture in our country has an American-made John Deere being a part of that.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story, because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The Midwest Weed Control Field Day is coming to Purdue's Miggs Horticulture Research Farm on Wednesday, September 11th in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear from experts on weeding tools of all scales, watch field demos, and make connections with other farmers, companies, and suppliers. For more information about the Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day, call Crystal at 217-840-2128 or visit online and search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org for the Midwest Weed Control Field Day.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Monday shaping up nice. We are finally going to start to see a little bit of humidity try and build in this week. It's not going to be super warm today. Over the weekend, we were quite pleasant, especially if you factor in the fact that it's mid-August. But we will see temperatures climbing here later this week as well. Humidity on the docket today, and we are humid tomorrow as well. However, at this point, I am not concerned about precipitation. I don't think we have anything more than a few pop-up showers in southwest Indiana late this afternoon and evening through tomorrow. The rest of the state sees no threat of moisture till likely Thursday. We see a weather system trying to come together in the central and western corn belt that slides through the frontal boundary, giving rain initially Thursday, and scattered showers and storms can linger through Friday. Behind the front, we are humid, but we are dry for Friday afternoon and most of Saturday. Overnight, Saturday night through Sunday, showers are back. So I think this week combined, you have to put down anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain, with coverage at 90% of the Hoosier State. Once we get done with Sunday afternoon, I think we are drying down and cooling off again. We're going to be seeing a dry and pleasant conditions through next Monday, through next Tuesday, and I would say Wednesday as well. Warm air is on the move out of the southern plains once again in the second half of next week. But at this point, I do not think it has a good chance of bringing heavy moisture our direction. So, yes, it's going to be a just-in-time kind of precipitation setup for the next couple of weeks. Just-in-time moisture here late this week, right about the time that folks are going to start saying, hey, Ryan, I need a rain. And we probably see that set up late next week as well. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
In Indiana, the Lieutenant Governor is also the State Secretary of Agriculture. This means the new Lieutenant Governor that we will elect this November will have a big impact on your farming operation and on the state's agriculture. The three candidates vying for this position will participate in a live debate on agriculture August 13th at 3 p.m. at the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Ag Today will live stream this debate on our website, mobile app, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. Get all the details at HoosierAgToday.com.
Sell-off in corn and beans, wheat just a little higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. We'll have those final numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. And I secured that from Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, in the middle of Friday's session. We have, I would say, relatively quiet, certainly corn and soybean markets going into the weekend and ahead of the August crop report on Monday. The corn and bean markets both quietly down, mostly. That must be positioning.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always, Andy. I think you summarized that well. We've got the major USDA report coming out on Monday the 12th, and that'll be our first survey-based estimate of U.S. corn and bean yields, as well as updated demand estimates and updated world production estimates too. So the trade is positioning. We did see some export business overnight here. Friday morning, USDA announced export sales of beans to China, announced some export sales of meal to Colombia, and export sales of beans, primarily new crop, to unknown destinations. You're looking at some end users putting their toe in the water, as it were, before these reports, this report on Monday. And we may see that again on Monday morning in terms of a sales announcement. But yeah, we did see contract lows made today, Friday, on Dease corn, and also new lows on November beans. Maybe just some profit taking. We anticipate that the traders report this afternoon will continue to show a very large short position held by the speculative sector, as it were, managed money. That's worked out great for them. Again, making new lows from that standpoint, obviously not great for producers. I understand that. But from their standpoint, they haven't been given a reason or incentive yet to change that position. They could get one on Monday. We'll have to wait and see. But for the moment, I think they're taking some money off the table, as you said, positioning themselves ahead of a weekend. Anything can happen on a weekend. And then, of course, the big report on Monday.
And the lone bright spot in the markets on Friday, wheat. And that would have to do with some production in Europe falling off, it would appear.
Some concern there about the quality of the crop that's being harvested. They're in the final stages of harvest in France, for example. They had much too much rain. Anybody watching the Olympics here the last couple weeks has noticed that there's been a fair amount of rain here and there that sprinkled into their telecasts. And of course, Paris isn't that far away from some key production areas of wheat. So bottom line is there's some concern that USDA will lower the production estimate for the EU on Monday. The other major country keeping an eye on is Germany. That harvest is typically a bit later in August for Germany compared to France, and it hasn't been ideal there either. So that could be a little bit of short covering could be linked to that. The other thing to keep an eye on longer term, I'd say, Andy, is the dryness in Argentina. That's more critical as you enter September and especially October. So we're not talking about August being a critical month for Argentina wheat, but it will become more and more of a factor if that continues. And I'd add in that the switch from a El Nino to a La Nina weather pattern is historically characterized by dry conditions in Argentina in August to December. So the market's keeping an eye on those things. Again, taking a little money off the table with some profit taking on these short positions. We just had new contract lows again recently here. So just more short taking, or beg your pardon, short covering as profit taking occurs ahead of the weekend.
Let's talk about weather. And again, we're speaking at noon Eastern time on Friday. Things can change, obviously. But as of this moment, talk about U.S. weather and how it appears to be shaping up for continued development and finishing off of these crops.
The weather conditions are underscored by some high crop ratings from the USDA. They're good. Universally, there's always spots across the Midwest. You can pick any spot and say, for example, southwest Minnesota, northwest Iowa, and southeast South Dakota, as your listeners probably picked up on the news, had some historic flooding back there in late June. And that crop is very uneven in places. So that's not an ideal crop. Having said that, USDA is at that 67-68%, so basically good to excellent rating. So basically two-thirds of the corn and bean crops here as we enter this first week, in this first week in August, are good to excellent. And we don't expect that to change much. And Monday the 12th ratings maybe up one or down one from what they were there last week. So the other thing that your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of is this cool weather. We're 5 to 10 degrees below normal here as we enter the second week of August. That's nearly ideal for corn in terms of grain fill. You get really cool nights, In layman's terms, it gives that corn a rest, and then it can absorb all those sunshine, all that sunshine photosynthesis can occur without stress. And bottom line is you can really add some kernel depth and test weight to that crop as we get into middle August, if these temperatures are going to stay highs in the low to mid 70s, and at night it's actually feeling cool with lows in the low 50s. So as we look ahead, I'm looking at some forecasts here for some rainfall to move in to the Midwest again Monday through Thursday of next week. Heaviest amounts across the western Illinois, across Missouri, southern Iowa, but it looks like across Indiana, maybe a chance for that western Indiana, western two-thirds of Indiana to get a drink there. So bottom line, Andy, I don't see anything extremely detrimental here as we enter the second half of, you know, the second week of August weather-wise. Obviously, we still got a ways to go. A lot can happen, particularly for the beans between now and when the combines roll. But for the moment, this weather is benign and actually very good for corn.
Analysis from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Now Friday settlements. September corn ends the day down 2.5 cents, 376 3/4, and 395 on the Dease corn now, 2 cents lower Friday. March 4, 12.5, 2 cents lower. September beans, 988 3/4, down 4 3/4, 5 3/4 off on the November contract, dipping to 1002 1/2. Up a nickel for September wheat, 542 1/2. The meats did go higher. October live cattle, 181.15, up $3.12, 35 cents higher for October lean hogs, 73.97. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.